Good morning, everyone. My name is Erin Chevalier, and I'm the World Outreach Coordinator here at East Coast International Church. And I don't know about you, but I love coming together on Sunday mornings and having a chance to worship together. I love that we have the chance to seek God together, that we know that He loves us and He set us free. But that what we have here at East Coast International Church in Lynn and in Revere, there are billions of people around the world that don't have that. They have no idea that God loves them. They have no access to a church or the truth of who Jesus is. And so that is why we're very committed as a church to supporting world outreach partners, also known as missionaries. And in case you're unfamiliar with that term, a missionary is a person or a family that leaves their country of origin. They leave the place where they live to go to another place around the world with the purpose and the mission of telling people that Jesus loves them. And this morning is a really special morning for us because we have one of our world outreach partners here with us in person. And I have the privilege of introducing them here in just a moment. But I have to say that this particular family is really special to us. We're probably a little biased towards them as we look at all of our world outreach partners. And that is because they are a part of East Coast International Church. We were a part of sending them. So back before they went overseas, they attended East Coast International Church. They served alongside of us. They lived in Lynn. And so we love it when they come home to see us. So today we get to welcome Nathan and Brianna Martin and their kids Caleb and Jonah, who are here with us. And in case today you're meeting Nathan and Brianna for the first time, I want to give you a little bit of background about who they are and what they're doing. So Nathan and Brianna grew up in Iowa, and then they came to finish school out in New England. So that's how we got to know them. That's how they ended up here. And Nathan was studying to be a pastor, and Brianna was studying missions because they felt compelled that God was going to be leading them to go somewhere in the world and tell people that Jesus loved them. But they weren't sure where that was going to be. And as Brianna was praying, she was praying through a book called Operation World, which actually walks you through praying for all the countries in the world. And when she got to the nation of Cambodia, God spoke to her and began to say, you know what, I think this is it for you. And her heart was just drawn to the people of that nation. And as she spoke with Nathan, God just confirmed in both of them that Cambodia was where they were supposed to be. And they have just finished their 10th year serving in Cambodia together as a family. So they have been so faithful. They've been there for many years. And Cambodia is a nation that really is still recovering from the genocide that happened in the 70s. And they've made a lot of progress. There's been a lot of healing, especially in the cities. But the rural areas really are still struggling. And so that's where Nathan and Brianna have been located so far. And in rural Cambodia, there isn't a good education system. Not very many kids are going to school, or if they go to school for elementary school, they drop out. And so Nathan and Brianna were able to see this practical need and get on board with a rural education project. And what they've been able to do is, let's say the government says, okay, we can start a church in this village, but they don't have a teacher. Nathan and Brianna can come along and say, oh, we have a teacher. We can help place a teacher there. So they've been able to help start schools, elementary schools, their first middle school this year, and also promote literacy, help open libraries, bring librarians. So just a really practical way that they've been able to love on the people, serve the people, and really, most importantly, make connections. Because that's what they're there for. Nathan and Brianna are seeking to tell people that Jesus loves them. And Cambodia is a Buddhist nation. So it is really their identity that if you're Cambodian, you're also Buddhist. And so the idea of following another religion, of coming to know God and learning who Jesus is very, very foreign to them. And that would be a very difficult thing for them to choose to believe. And so Nathan and Brianna are constantly looking for opportunities to build relationships, to share about Jesus. And there are some followers of Jesus, though, in their area. And you're going to get to hear some stories directly from Nathan. But they also get to meet with these followers and do like a small group, kind of what we do on Wednesday night. They do discipleship group where they encourage each other and help each other to grow in their faith. So that's kind of just like a little brief overview of what Nathan and Brianna have been up to this past 10 years. Nathan's going to join us, and he's going to be speaking to you more this morning. But I will say that as I've had some time to spend with Nathan and Brianna, and if you get a chance to speak to them this morning, you're going to see very quickly that they just have a heart for God, for the Lord, and for what he's doing in Cambodia. They've been so willing to sacrifice and to serve and to listen to God. And so I'm going to encourage all of us to listen really closely today, because I believe that with all those years of faithfulness that God has really given them a lot of wisdom. And so Nathan, I believe, has things to share today that God really wants us all to hear. So join me in welcoming Nathan. I'll turn it over to him. So
thank you. Well, thank you. It's really nice to be back in Lynn. Thank you for sending us. And also, when I come back, I just am grateful because when God put Cambodia on our heart, started to break our heart for Cambodia, before, just like a country, I didn't know anything about it. We moved to Lynn, we moved to Layton Street, and we got to know our first Cambodians. A guy named Chanta became my first Cambodian friend and brother. And you have been part of this journey from the beginning. So thank you for that. If you have your Bibles, or on your phone, you can turn to Luke chapter 4. One of the things that I wrestle with, when we first read about Cambodia's story, about the genocide, it broke my heart. Then moving to Cambodia, it continues to break my heart. I wrestle with this issue of injustice. During the Khmer Rouge, the killing fields, things really got out of hand. They said very chilling things, like it's no value to keep you, it's no loss to lose you. A third of the population, 2 to 3 million people, lost their lives. Some starvation, some just a farming implement to the back of the head. And Cambodia's been rebuilding ever since. Now, I wrestle with this injustice because today in Cambodia, for some people, things haven't changed a whole lot. Some people were involved in the killing, and they're doing quite well. There's only one guy that I know of that said sorry that was involved in it. A man named Doik, who actually became a Christian. And Israel, too, in Luke 4, had some wrestling with issues of justice. The Romans were in control at the time. And if you're in Rome, it's kind of great. The wealth of the world comes to you. But if you're not in Rome, it's not so nice. And before that, for several hundred years, they'd had intermittent war. Alexander the Great had some sons that divided up his area, and then they started fighting. Some people go north through Israel and fight, some south, and they're just like the doormat of the area, kind of like what Cambodia was during the Vietnam War. But Israel had one thing they were holding on to, this hope that someday a Savior would come. God promised this Messiah. They have this vision of restoration. And this is what Jesus comes to in Luke 4 here. He opens the scroll to Isaiah 61. I'm going to read it. And it's this image of a time of jubilee. They were supposed to do this every 50 years. I don't know that they ever did. But every 50 years, everyone who sold himself as a slave, you're free. All debts gone. If your land was taken, it comes back to you. It was kind of an image of taste of what was to come in the kingdom of God. And Jesus comes to this passage about this jubilee and says a few things about its coming. So this is Luke chapter 4, verse 17. The scroll the prophet Isaiah has given to him, to Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Big words. Jesus sits down, gives a scroll back, all the eyes are on him, and then Jesus says this, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Imagine some of what they're thinking. Some of them, the text says, think well of them. Some of them also are wondering. Wait, isn't this Mary and Joseph's boy? I remember him working out in the carpenter shop. Maybe some of their desires battle too. I have to admit, I enjoy the Marvel movies. I like it when the bad guys get defeated cinematically by the good guys. And maybe they're imagining like this Messiah guy is going to come, but wait a second, Jesus doesn't look, he doesn't have the physique of Thor. He just looks like a regular guy. But they start to murmur a bit. And Jesus says, you're going to quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we heard you did in Capernaum, do here. In other words, if you're really the guy to set things right in this world, show us some power. Then Jesus goes on to say, a prophet's not acceptable in his hometown. And he takes this thing a direction they were not expecting. He says, during the days of Elijah, this powerful prophet in the Old Testament, there are a whole lot of widows in Israel, but Elijah wasn't sent to any of them. He was sent to a foreigner, the Sidonian. And during the days of Elijah, there were a lot of lepers in Israel, but Elijah wasn't sent to any of them. He was sent to Naaman, this Syrian, this foreigner. And they get so angry, if you read the end of this, they're going to push Jesus off a cliff. It's just not his time yet. And I can look at that and be like, come on, guys. I mean, he starts to talk about good news for some foreigners, and it's a little bit racist, but I also think it goes deeper than that. I can relate with their frustration sometimes to look at Cambodia. Like, you say you came to fulfill Isaiah 61. Where are you, Jesus? But I also see, and I want to share with you a few stories, that when Jesus intersects real Cambodian lives, I see him lifting up the shame. I see him renewing and bringing new life. And it may start as a trickle, but it grows as a stream to lift up their heads and empower. Here's one of the first stories I want to share. Actually, I think they're going to bring up on the screen Isaiah 61, which is what Jesus quotes from. And we'll come back to this passage. I would encourage you to spend some time in it this week. Anytime you see a quote in the New Testament, they're pulling it out, but they're expecting you to know the whole thing. So go back and read Isaiah 61. So this is this passage. And I'm going to share with you first a story about Sri Liang. So the next slide comes up is this lady. You'll see her in the flowered shirt there. And when we first came to Snul, which is on the border with Vietnam in rural Cambodia, she was the only believer in her family. And she started to meet with Brianna. Actually, had some teammates before that were working with her and discipling her. And then they had to leave. And so Brianna was continuing this. And Sri Liang was really struggling because in Cambodia, a lot of places in Asia, you don't make your own decision. You're not an individual. Sometimes I ask Cambodians, why do you believe this? And they say, Damgay, we just follow it because everyone follows it. That's what you do. Sri Liang was being brave enough to be the first one, and people were nasty. They're making fun of her, making threats of violence. Next slide will show her sister, Lai. Even during their time they're meeting at Liang's house, Lai would be in the hammock underneath and be cursing. She's drunk, and Lai, she had a couple husbands who left her too, so there's some reasons why she turned to alcohol. Liang's prayer early on was for her family, and she kept on praying for her family. And first her father believed before he passed away, then Lai in the middle there. She had this vision of Jesus. I've never had a vision of Jesus, but Jesus came to her. And she talks about this dazzling whiteness and Jesus showing her the darkness of the world and says, come back to me, my daughter. Actually, it was slightly painful. It touched her head and said, Lungung Jian Gay. She said, like, you're more stubborn than the rest. Come back to me. And she's been starting to follow too. Alcohol's not completely gone. It's a kind of up and down journey. But I see Jesus lifting her head. And the lady in the striped shirt in the next slide is another sister, Lang. And when we came back to Snul again a couple years ago, we're just getting moved into our house again, and Brianna gets a call on the phone from Liang. She says, would you come to my sister's husband's funeral? And Brianna said, okay, when is it? She said, it's in 2 hours. So Brianna said, okay, where's it at? It's in Nanjian, this village, which was over an hour away, and we've never really been to. So at first, Brianna, she didn't really want to go, but the Holy Spirit kept nudging. I thought, you know, if one of my girlfriends here said, would you come to my sister's husband's funeral? I would go. So she went, picked Liang up on the motorbike, went out there, stayed for about an hour. Rain clouds were coming. She came back home with Liang directing. She came home and said, Nathan, I will never find that place again. Well, about a month later, She was visiting Liang near the market where Liang lives, and Liang showed up, and Liang had some questions. Started to want to know a little bit about Jesus, a little bit more of this message that we're trying to share. It's not just you save yourself, but undeserved forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Liang said, I'm a Buddhist, but I'm just interested. And it seemed like the enemy was out to destroy this family, because the next thing that happens to this widow in the countryside is a neighbor takes advantage of her in a field. So Branna meets her next at the police station, and Liang and Branna are there and just crying with her. They're only ones the family that came. Another issue, injustice in Cambodia is just kind of a fine, and that's it. It's over. And Branna takes Liang back to the village. She has some more questions, but some calmness starts to come over her too. And then in Buddhism in Cambodia is this layer of you save yourself, do good, get good, do bad, get bad. That's what they preach. But underneath this is this, how do I control the world? And they look to ghosts and spirits, and there's some measure of fear as they try to control the spiritual world. And there's a spirit doctor, this witch doctor, that cursed the family. I don't know all the reasons. I don't know if because Liang is a believer or what. They all got sick except for Liang. And Branna was praying with them. They did get better. And their kids end up talking to the witch doctor's kids. And he said, I can't do anything about Liang. She has Jesus' protection. And Liang was listening to this. Well, a year and a half ago, we went over Thanksgiving, actually at my son Caleb's idea. We're talking about American Thanksgiving. He's like, okay, it's about being thankful for food. We need to take some food out to Liang's house. I was so proud of him. So we went out there, did a Bible story as usual. That time was the bleeding woman who goes through the crowd and is brave enough to touch Jesus. And Jesus honors her as well, calls her daughter by the end of that story. And Brandon notices that the idol shelf in the house is gone. Well, the shelf is there, but the stuff on it is gone, the stuff that they use to try to make the spirits happy. Brandon asks, what happened? And Lang said, my sister and I took that out and burned it last week. And she said, I still have a lot of questions. My neighbors are asking me, I know that Jesus is real, and I have hope now. He's taken such a weight off of my soul. And this lady who can't read in the eyes of the world, wasn't really anybody, I see God lifting her head to start something in her village where there were no other believers in this village that we thought we'd never get back out to. She decided to open up her home for a worship group. At first, a few kids would come. You can go on to the next slide. And then it started to get bigger and bigger, and sometimes 50, 60 kids were coming at 6 in the morning at the Lang's house waiting for worship at 8. And some of their parents were coming too. And this next slide is such an answer to prayer because it shows Liang in the middle, the blue shirt with the big smile, and her whole family standing there. We see Lai and the flowers coming to worship, still walking out her faith journey. We see Lang over there has opened up her house. Another sister in the pink, who's interested, but her husband forbids it right now. She can't be a believer because her husband forbids it. And her brother came to worship for the very first time. I can see how, from the very first prayers of Liang, God working not only to lift her head, but to empower her to begin to bring renewal to her whole family and to a village. Next slide after this is Yari. And Yari was in the Snul market. And the Snul market was always hard for us to get an end to because there's no days off, there's no health insurance, there's no retirement plan. Whatever you work, that's what you get. So people work from like 5 in the morning to 8 at night, Sunday through Monday, all the time. But she had a nephew who was planting seeds of the gospel, planting some seeds of the good news of Jesus. First, she made fun of him. Later, she's interested. He invited me over to a family dinner and had me sit down next to his aunt. And he was showing her on his phone, on YouTube, some Cambodian praise songs. I could tell that actually she was really interested in the gospel. So he's like, would you follow up with her? So I started to go to the market when I was not so busy talking with her, talking with her husband. First, very, very basic, but she quickly, this time, was ready to embrace Jesus. And she, you can go to the next slide too, as market seller. She has a quick tongue. She can talk. She used to use her tongue to also really cut. Her husband would drink with his brothers, come home drunk sometimes, and she was actually a pretty angry woman. One of the things I love about her testimony, she's talking about Jesus taking this anger off of her heart. Her husband now says, I don't have a my wife, I have a Jesus wife. And he's interested too. He just says, my brothers don't believe, so how can I? But I know his story's not over yet either. Jesus lifting up the head of this woman. Next slide after this is my friend Borut. And Borut came to Snul about 5 years ago, and I was excited because he was already somebody who knew Jesus. And he had a young family, so I thought, we can be friends, we can start to hang out. And Borut had all kinds of outright ideas, more than I could ever keep up with. He would also come out to the village with me. I was really, really excited about this man. And then a year and a half ago, I got on Facebook Messenger pictures of Borut at a hospital in Vietnam, and his kidneys were failing, right on the border with Vietnam, so that's why he's there. I saw him come back at first discouraged. There's only one place in all of Cambodia to do dialysis, is Phnom Penh. And he was doing all right. For a Cambodian, he had a restaurant, he had a soccer pitch he was renting. Now he's looking at the numbers. I cannot do dialysis and feed my family. But I also saw God start to clothe him and strengthen him. And this is extra hard in Cambodia because on top of injustice is this layer of shame put on. And this whole do good, get good, do bad, get bad. It's real nice, give yourself a pat on the back if you're wealthy, if you're doing well. But what if you're sick? What if you're suffering? What if you're afflicted? Is that your fault? This happens in the Bible too. Job's friends say the same thing to you. Job, you're suffering because of the thickness of your sin. But we know in the story of Job, if you read the book, actually, he was more right with God than any of those guys. I've been praying for healing for Borut. God's still providing for him. But also, I see God doing something in the midst of his sickness. I know an anesthesiologist who works at a Christian hospital in Phnom Penh. She's been praying for Borut too. And she said to me, Nathan, once, I've seen God heal a lot of people at this hospital. Sometimes they don't get healed. I don't know why. But I've seen for those that don't get healed and hold on to this joy in Christ, it's such a powerful witness that I don't even know what to pray for. And I can see as God is working through Borut, he's starting to clothe him with a garment of praise in the midst of the sickness. And he too is in this market area beginning to plant seeds there of this undeserved grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The story here of Janti in the next slide. Another story where I see Jesus intersecting a real person's life in Cambodia. He was a Buddhist monk, rather high ranking. He was assistant village chief, and he was one of our teachers in one of our schools. Then, a few years ago, he was told he's too old to teach. He's in his late 70s now. So society says you're too old, it's time to go on a shelf. About the same time, he opened up his house and started to invite some people to come. First with just told him to come for 7 weeks. We're going to start at creation and go to Jesus. And he wasn't a believer himself yet. He just wanted to learn. Then people kept on coming and kept on coming. And this is one of my highlights of the week on a Sunday afternoon is going there. Because people keep on coming. They've never heard of Jesus with these questions. And I see John T's questions getting deeper and deeper from just like, where did the world come from to, okay, you're telling me this God who made everything became a man? How is Jesus both God and man? Great, great, great question. He's starting to get it. He started to talk about, okay, so Jesus lived this life to show us a kind of God's heart, but also what happens on the cross? How does Jesus take our sin there? Buddhism says you're the only person that can save yourself. And then the resurrection and this life forever with him. And now he's starting to share this out there too. And this man who is too old, that the school said, I see Jesus lifting his head too to do something in his village. So this is what Jesus is quoting. I'm going to read in Isaiah 61. You can bring the passage up. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I highlighted up there the they. You're going to have to look back in your Bible to see it in Isaiah 61, but I'm going to ask you, who's the they? What's that? Certainly us. That's where you got to jump, because we were the captives, the poor, the brokenhearted. But that's what he's talking about early in the passage here. He takes those who are captives and he lifts up their head to make those involved in liberating. He takes up the brokenhearted and lifts up their head to begin to mend so that we can work on someone else's heart. He takes up those who are bound, lifts up their head and start to join him in working for justice in others who are bound. He takes those who are mourning, lifts up their head so we can sympathize and lift up the head of those who are mourning. Jesus, when he read from Isaiah 61, he doesn't just put his feet up and say, okay, I'm done now. You know, the big picture of the Savior coming, he is coming back. You all know that, right? Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set things right. But he also walked it out right away. He started to put Isaiah 61 in action right away. He called followers to him from Galilee, a place that was not a place of importance. A lot of them were just manual workers, people that didn't make the cut to become rabbis. There's only one from Judea who actually happened to betray him. And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on these guys. He goes to a Samaritan woman at the well. And the Samaritans were the foreigners that they did not want to associate with. He talks with this woman. This woman had a reputation too. It starts to talk about living water to her. And she goes out and becomes a well of gushing water to proclaim Jesus to her village. He lifts her head. He lifts the heads of the lepers. When he touches them, nobody touches lepers. Jesus could have healed them from a distance. But he gets close and touches those guys and lifts their head. He sets people free. The guy who had all these demons that was living out in the tombs, not even with society, Jesus sets him free, lifts up his head, and then sends them to proclaim the gospel across the tracks to these Gentiles, these non-Jews that they weren't going to prepare the way for him. When the kids come to Jesus, and the disciples are like, don't bother him, kids are annoying, we've got other stuff to do. Jesus is like, no, let the kids come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. In fact, you've got to have a heart like a kid if you're going to get in it. He lifts the heads to others too. Zacchaeus, wealthy, selfish guy. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house to eat. And he turns him to this man of flowing generosity. All the way to the cross, Jesus is doing Isaiah 61 and lifting the heads of those who are downcast, those who are brokenhearted, and turning them into people leading justice to victory with them. The thief on the cross next to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And after the resurrection, when we have Peter, who's like, three times, I don't know you, Jesus. I don't know you, Jesus. I don't know you, Jesus. Jesus meets him on a beach and says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Time to get dusted off and get back into battle. I'm not done with you yet. He lifts his head after his stumbling too. And we can put ourselves right in Isaiah 61. We are the captives, the brokenhearted, those who are bound. Jesus lifts our head and then does this amazing work where we join him in leading justice to victory. John 20:21, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And Jesus has lifted many of your heads. Now he starts to call us to look at Lynn and Revere and lift the heads of others. This next slide shows a great oak tree. My wife and I went to South Carolina for our 20th wedding anniversary last May. And this oak tree was like over 9 feet around, branches like 70 feet long or more. I don't know how high it was. It's like 400 years old. Maybe it was 500, but it can go for like another 400. I love this long-term enduring image that Jesus is picking up here. According to Wikipedia, from when you first put an acorn in the ground, you're not going to get a tree that can produce another acorn for like 20, 30 years. Now you can imagine it too, when he first put that acorn in the ground, like, I don't see anything happening. I don't see anything happening. Or later on when the tree's growing and it seems like nothing is happening. But Jesus lifts our head to join him, and I love where this goes, to repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Take someone like Sri Leung, 5 foot tall, 100 pounds. The kingdom of God, she's going to be a giant. It takes people like us. Repairing a city, repairing a ruins, that's not like a solitary thing. I'm just going to go do that. He needs a community. He needs us to join in lifting our heads. When this passage takes the shame and turns it around, it says, instead of shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. There's many analogies to kind of understand the gospel. Sometimes adoption, this time marriage. And I love this because it's this unconditional, you know, ideal marriage, better or worse, richer or poorer, till death do us part. Except for in Jesus, death didn't do us part. 3 days later, death tapped out and Jesus rose again. The better, worse, richer, poor, to the resurrection so we are joined with him together. And he entered our sin and shame, took it on the cross, and rose again. And this gospel I found so good. Cambodia and the rest of the world's religions want to do this. Do good, get good on your own. Build your own tower. And sometimes on the ground level, the towers look nice, but get up where the stars are, and you can't even see it. But God came to us, became one of us, not because we can get to him, but he loves us. He's very fond of you, right in our sin and our brokenness. Society says you are for your performance. Society says you are what people say about you. Jesus says, I love you. I died for you. I rose for you. You are sons and daughters of the King. He lifts our head. In a moment, I'm going to offer you a chance to come up to altars on either side, just meet with the Lord. He's here. I'm going to ask you, where do you put yourself in Isaiah 61? Maybe you're at the point where I'm kind of interested in Jesus. I don't know this yet. What's this all about? The start of the gospel, in some ways, is so simple. It's as simple as, I can't do this, but I believe you love me. I believe you came to this earth and you rose again for me. I believe that. It starts almost like wading in the ocean, but even if you've been a Christian 80 years, you cannot take all this extravagant love apart from what we do in. Maybe you've been kind of like, I've been doing this thing a while, and I've had some stumbles. I've been repairing the cities, and my hands are a bit worn. But Jesus lifts our head too, like he did to Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Where we're saved at, where we begin, unconditional love and forgiveness. We're saved that whether we're a Christian for a year or 20 years or 50 years. We still are saved by his unconditional love and forgiveness. That picks us up so we can keep going. And some of you have been an oak tree of righteousness. And I want you to look at this passage and say, who are the captives? Who are the bound? Who are the afflicted? Who are the poor? Where can I plant this next acorn? So God can raise someone else up to lift the heads of those around us. I'm going to ask the band to come up, please. As you start to pray, you can prepare your hearts. I'm going to go ahead and pray for Cambodia, for ECIC as well. Jesus, I thank you for your unconditional love for us. I thank you that your salvation is not do good, get good, but it's get undeserved love and forgiveness that we do not deserve. And out of that, the goodness flows. I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, the best gift at all. Wherever we're at, captive, bound, wherever else, this Holy Spirit can come in and begin to change our lives. Thank you for this, Jesus. I lift up the people loving rural Snul, Cambodia. I lift up Liang and Lang. I know they're still poor farmers, Jesus. Continue to remind them of your good news. Continue to lift up their head. Continue to move in their village in Anjan. My friend Bo Rut, in his sickness, Lord, keep providing for him. Lord, I pray for healing now. I know you can do it. I also know the real healing comes in the resurrection. And Lord, lift up his head. May he be a light in the midst of his pain right now. I lift up Jan T and how he's opened his house and people are coming, Lord, okay, that it can continue to shine forth, Lord. And Yari in the market, Lord. And here in Lynn and Revere, Lord, I thank you for ECIC. I thank you how you lifted the heads of those here, Lord. And Lord, help us to see where to intersect our lives with the poor, with the captives, with the bound, to join you in bringing justice to victory, to lift their heads up too, Lord, for your glory, that we might repair the ruins and the devastations. I thank you for your goodness. You're such a good and faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to stand with me. And I invite you to come. Pray. Jesus is here. Meet with him.
Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that when we come to you, you offer us healing. You offer us rescue. You offer us freedom. Put us back together, God. And then you send us back out. Because you want to use us to share that message of incredible hope with all those who still desperately need to hear it. God, we are grateful for what you do in our lives, and we are honored, so honored, for the way that you want to use us. Thank you so much. We are so grateful, and we love you. Amen. Amen. Can you help me give Nathan a giant round of applause to say thank you? It is so good to see you here today. God bless as you're going. If you're interested in finding a way to serve or getting more connected, make sure you sign up at the start table on your way out. And otherwise, God bless you as you go through your week. We'll look forward to seeing you throughout the week and next Sunday. God bless.